Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Welcome to Sunday. Hi, kids.
Hi.
Announcements. Okay, we have at the end of each row, there's a little black book. You'll see it's our friendship register. You can write in any prayer request, information. If you're a first-time visitor, fill out your name, telephone number, address, so we can send you a little card in the mail. And we can say, hey, guys, glad that you were here. This is our tithes and offering box over here next to the door. You just drop your tithes and offerings into it, and the gentleman will take care of it. The ride today is at your leisure, wherever you want to go. Wednesday night is February 26th. We will not have bike night this week because we're having our Ash Wednesday service here. At 6 p.m. And Ash Wednesday service will be here Wednesday at 6 p.m. If there is anybody that will be here for the Ash Wednesday service who will read just a reading, a scripture reading that I've already got printed off, all you do is stand up and read it, please see me after church and I will give you that particular reading so that... You can read over it before Ash Wednesday. If not, we'll make it happen. Women's Ministry, this in 2 weeks from yesterday, we'll have our breakfast. It's March 7th at 8:30 a.m. And the following Sunday, 2 weeks from today at 12:30 after church, we'll have our annual activities meeting here to discuss the upcoming year, the rides, activities that we want to get on the calendar so that we can support the various motorcycle groups that are represented, BACA, CMA, R4O, that way we can get those activities on the calendar also. Kids, do you have any prayer requests? Miss Haley? About your daddy? Okay. What about your dad? He's dad sick. Okay. So pray for Tony that he gets well. Taylor?
I pray for Papa because he's in Puerto Rico.
Pray for Papa and...
I heard they went where the hurricanes were.
Uh-huh. They went where the hurricanes were. Pray for the safety of all the men who are in Puerto Rico on the mission trip. Right? Okay. Lily?
I wish Daddy will come back because he was gone to help Mom.
Right. Pray for Aaron and Korea at work to come home soon and safely. We understand that. Exactly. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Y'all come on up.
I wish I can have Daddy back again because he was gone long, but, amen. I hope that my daddy feels better so we can meet him again. Amen.
God, will you please just be with all these people and take care of all of the people in the world? And we hope that whoever is away from their family can come back to their family safely and peacefully. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Just as far as for prayer requests this morning, so let's be sure and keep Mike and Sue and Sue's mom in our prayers. And definitely keep Tony in our prayers for illness and the guys over in Puerto Rico. Has anybody heard from them? How are they doing?
Yeah, they toured yesterday.
Oh, they toured yesterday. Okay.
They were more tired than when they worked.
Oh, my.
No air conditioning in their bus.
No air conditioning, no bus. Did they pass the bakery?
They stopped each time.
Yeah. Oh, they're doing good then.
Today they're snorkeling.
Two of them are snorkeling. Okay. All right. I can't wait till they get back so we can hear all about the wonderful adventure. Any other prayer requests this morning? We want to keep Aaron in our prayers. For those of you who don't know, Aaron is actually working in Korea. And for Lily, it's very hard to understand the fact that Daddy's not going to come home next weekend. He's going to be there for, is it a year, Danny? For a year.
And the likelihood of him coming home with any injuries, very slim.
Yeah, like slim to none. But we still pray that he comes home safely.
Yes.
And Mom, are the guys coming back from Puerto Rico?
29.
On the 29th. And I want to continue to ask for prayer requests for Karen for healing so that she can get back on that motorcycle.
Yes.
I know that's burning a hole in her pocket, so to speak. Yeah, we all understand the park motorcycle syndrome. And we want to continue. I have a good friend that we worked together when I worked at one of the clinics on Fort Campbell. She recently retired. Her father is 92, and has had prostate cancer for a very long time. Now it has finally metastasized. He is suffering severe dementia, is now bedbound. So she's in her late 60s with lots of health issues herself, trying to take care of a father, getting him in and out of bed to the bedside commode. Keeping in the bed is the hard part. So her name is Jackie, and if you, her dad's name, I just know him as Mr. Jones. If we'll keep Jackie and Mr. Jones in our prayers. Any other prayer requests? Continued prayers for Christy, still looking for a job? No? No?
Yeah.
Jeff, you're done right now? You're taking it easy?
I'm taking it easy. If it comes,
it's fine.
All right. Well, right. We want to continue to pray that whatever he has in mind for you continues.
There you go. I'm enjoying my craft right now.
I don't blame you there. Any other prayer requests? Yeah, definitely. And Randy and his knees, too. And y'all, I know this sounds silly, but let's pray for Ethan. He's been sick the last two Sundays. Fever last week, sore throat this week. So let's just kind of keep him and Sarah and Kevin in our prayers. Definitely want to keep Robert in our prayers, Trucker. And then also, if you look around, the people that aren't here, let's keep them in our prayers too. I know Danny and David were talking about it, and then also George. Haven't seen George in a while. Just want to make sure that he's okay too. All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with open hearts. We pray that Tony gets better. He's in the ICU, as you know, with pneumonia. Lord, we ask for your intervention and give the medical staff knowledge, courage, and strength and compassion to help him recover. The same with Bill, Lord, in that situation. That praise God that it's not what they originally thought, that it's possibly non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to have your hands on Bill, Carlene, the medical staff as they treat. For the men in Puerto Rico, Lord, we understand they've done some hard work and they've also done some hard sightseeing. And we ask that whatever they do, Lord, that it be to your glory. We pray for Ruth this morning and her illness. Lord, she's not feeling well. Just place your healing hands on her so that she can recover. We miss her sweet face. We want to say a special prayer for Bobby Thain, who lost his mom last night, Lord. Lift up the family, give them comfort in this hard time. And Lord, we know that you're with Aaron as he's at work in Korea. We ask that you bless Danny, Katie, and Lily and give them comfort and peace in knowing that Aaron's okay and that everything's going to be fine. And for Kathy, Lord, we've not had an update from Katie lately on her mom's cancer or condition. And we know the dire circumstances that Kathy's under. We know that you are the great physician, the great healer, that you will place your healing hands on her. And we pray for just eternal healing for Kathy, Lord. And we praise you that Mariah has been assigned to Fort Benning once she's done with her assignment in Fort Lee. I know it's a hard thing for newlyweds to be apart from one another, but thank you for blessing Mariah with the assignment to be near Alec. We want to keep Karen in our prayers, Lord. Let her physical therapy and her recovery go well and without pain so that she can get back to her normal activities, riding bike, driving truck, just being her typical Karen. And you know we love her. For Don, Lord, we don't know why he's here. We ask that you just be with him and Debbie today and through the coming weeks. Hopefully he's not ill and it's nothing to do with his heart, but Lord, just be with him. For Christina, Lord, in her situation, we just ask your intervention and your blessings on her. For Jackie and her father, Lord, you know the situation. You know Jackie's not well and you know her father's not well. Give Jackie the strength to get through taking care of her father. Each and every time he needs something, Lord, she's been a faithful servant to him and to you. We just ask that you bless her with the strength and her father with no anger issues, with peace in his heart of knowing that you're there with him. For Christy in her job situation, Lord, open their eyes to reveal what you have planned for her, Lord. Let whatever comes her way be with your blessing. For Ethan, Lord, that's not here, he's been out the past 2 weeks. And for Sarah and Kevin, I know Ethan's been sick. And you know the situation with Sarah and Kevin. Just speak to them, Lord. Give Sarah comfort in knowing that you're with them. And in Kevin's situation, Lord, just touch him and open his eyes and let him know it's never too late. And for Kenny and those and George and all those that are not here, Lord, we ask that you are with them today and always. Whatever their needs are, that they are being met and that you will comfort them in whatever they desire. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. I think Riley being with his choir today was a blessing to us because we got to listen to Pansy and Danny, their beautiful voices. All right. That last song, "Here in the Power of Christ I Stand," brings to mind the peace of knowing God, the peace of knowing our Lord as our shepherd. Psalms 23 reads, "The Lord, the shepherd of his people," a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wrote this psalm out of his own experience as a shepherd. He was a shepherd as a young boy before he even slayed the giant, the Philistine giant. He knew how sheep were. He knew that they needed a shepherd, somebody to protect them. Sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd for provision, guidance, and protection. Without a shepherd, the sheep go astray and become prey for wild animals and thieves. The New Testament calls Jesus the Good Shepherd in John 10:11, the Great Shepherd in Hebrews 13:20, and the Great Shepherd, both capital, in 1 Peter 5:4. As the Lord is our shepherd, so we are his sheep. We are not frightened, passive animals, but obedient followers, wise enough to follow one who will lead us in the right place and in the right ways. This psalm does not focus on the animal-like qualities of the sheep, but on the disciple-like qualities of those who follow him. When we allow God, our shepherd, to guide us, we have contentment. However, when we choose to sin and go our own way, we cannot blame God for the conditions we find ourselves in. The conditions we've created for ourselves. God knows the green pastures and the still waters that will restore us. We can only reach these places by following him obediently. Disobedience to the shepherd's leading is rebelling against our own best interests. We must remember the next time we are tempted to go our own way rather than the Lord's way. When it talks about the shadow of the valley of death, death casts a frightening shadow over us. I mean, and we're not talking physical death. We're talking eternal death, the death of our souls when we're not where we're supposed to be. We're entirely helpless in the presence of sin if we have not found our shepherd. We can struggle with other enemies, such as pain or suffering, disease or injury, but strength and courage cannot overcome death. It has the final word. There's only one person who can walk through death's dark valley and bring us to the other side, and that's our Lord, the God of life. Our shepherd who offers us eternal comfort is the God, the perfect shepherd that brings us life. He offers us protection and promises to guide and protect us throughout our life and bring us into his home forever. And I don't know about y'all, but that brings me peace in knowing that as long as I'm following God, as long as I'm obedient to him, he's going to bring me the good things that I want. He's going to bring me to a place I want to be. He's never failed me yet. I failed him many times when I've tried to do things my own way. But he has yet to fail me, and he never will. And guys, I apologize on the slides being too small. I didn't realize when I was creating them that they were going to be that small on the screen. So let me just read to y'all, and y'all just do like we did last week and just listen. In Jeremiah 50:4-7, Jeremiah writes, "In those coming days, says the Lord, the people of Israel will return home together with the people of Judah. They will come weeping and seeking the Lord their God. They will ask the way to Jerusalem and will start back home again. They will bind themselves to the Lord with an eternal covenant that will never be forgotten. My people, talking about the people of Israel, have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray and turned them loose in the mountains. They have lost their way and can't remember how to get back to the sheepfold. All who found them devoured them. Their enemies said, "We did nothing wrong in attacking them, for they sinned against the Lord, their true place of rest and the hope of their ancestors." God gave Jeremiah this message. Their enemies were the Babylonians. They had captured the Israelites in Judah. The Israelites had gone astray as lost sheep, and God used Babylon to punish them. They were doing good in Judah. They had followed Jesus, followed God, and God had given them the land he had promised. But then they began living their own lives, and they had forgotten who brought them there. They had forgotten where this good life came from, and they started, like many folks, living their own way. They had forgotten who to praise. They had forgotten who to pray to. When the Babylonians captured the Israelites melded into their culture, forgetting about the one true God of Israel. Babylon is used throughout the Bible as a symbol of evil. They were prideful people, believing they didn't need God and failed to recognize God as the ultimate power. In Jeremiah 50:17-20, it tells us that God would punish Babylon for what it has done to Israel, leading the sheep astray. These verses also look at the time when the Messiah will rule and Israel will be fully restored. No sin will then be found in Israel because God's people will seek him and he will be forgiven. Jeremiah 50:17-20. The Israelites are like sheep that have been scattered by lions. First the king of Assyria ate them up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon cracked their bones. Therefore, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Now I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel home again to its own land, to feed in the fields of Carmel and Bashan, and to be satisfied once more in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, says the Lord, no sin will be found in Israel or in Judah, for I will forgive the remnant I preserve. God is going to bring his people back to him, essentially. And this remnant that he preserves is all of us. And this king he is talking about is also found, bear with me guys, I think I've lost a page, but that's okay. Yeah. This king he is talking about forthcoming is our Messiah. In John 10, slide 5, 1 through 16, John is talking about the good shepherd and his sheep. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from them because they don't know his voice. To those who heard Jesus use this illustration, didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. There is a lot in these few verses. Jesus being the shepherd. A shepherd does what to his sheep? He protects them, he leads them, he guides them. He has gathered them into a sheepfold. A sheepfold was a cave, a shed, or open areas surrounded by walls made of stone or branches to protect them from the thieves, weather, and wild animals. Jesus is our sheepfold. He protects us, not with a cave, not with a shed. He protects us everywhere we go with his love and compassion for us. The shepherd often slept across the doorway to protect the sheep, functioning as a gate, letting the sheep in and protecting them. Just as a shepherd cares for his sheep, Jesus Christ cares for his flock, those who follow him. And it says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. All of us in Christ recognize the voice of our God. We can hear him call to us when we're trying to go astray, if we just stop for a moment and listen. We recognize the voice of God. He has gathered us into his flock. He's gone ahead of us, and we follow him because we know his voice. We're not going to follow a stranger because we don't know their voice. The people he's speaking these words to kind of understand what he's talking about because they were shepherds. Some of them were fishermen, but they understand the concept because that was the way of life back then. What it doesn't say in here is shepherds were not considered good people. They were considered outcasts. They were considered field hands. They were considered less than worthy. But that's not true. Just as the shepherd cared for his sheep, Christ cares for us. Christ is the gate to God's salvation, offering access to safety and security. He is our protector. Now, some people may resent the fact that Jesus is the gate, the only way to access God. But let me ask you this. Isn't Jesus God's son? So why should we seek any other way to approach God? We can't do it through good works. We can't do it through treating others kindly. We can't do it through anything that we can do on our own. It has to come through us saying, Christ, you are my Lord, my Savior, my guide, my shepherd. In contrast to the thief that takes life, Jesus gives life. The life he gives now is rich and full and abundant in all we need. It is eternal, but begins immediately as soon as we call on Christ and give our lives over to him. That abundance begins immediately. Living as a follower of Christ places us on a higher plane because of overflowing forgiveness, love, and guidance. In verses 11 and 12 in John chapter 10, the hired hand tends the sheep for money, but Christ tends the sheep for the love of the sheep, and he is committed to them. He is not merely doing a job. All of us have had jobs in the past where we just did it for the money. When we are truly blessed, we find a job that we do for the love of the job. Christ has that job. He is committed to loving us and to even laying down his life for us. In verse 16, Jesus tells of other sheep. Now, this is back when Jesus was speaking strictly to the Israelites, to the Jews. The Gentiles were not in his sheepfold. These other sheep were the non-Jews or Gentiles, us. This is his mission, to bring all his believers into the fold, to have one flock, one body of believers, and one shepherd, him. Digging into the shepherd a little bit further, because shepherds are mentioned throughout the Bible several times. I mean, almost every book of the Bible has a mention of a shepherd in it, either as an occupation or speaking of the coming Messiah. In Ezekiel 34 and 34, in the Old Testament, Jesus wasn't here yet. He had not made his appearance on earth. But there is a message that God gave Ezekiel to the leaders of Israel. Then this message came to me from the Lord, Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you, shepherds, who feed yourselves instead of your flocks. Shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? I mean, if I'm a shepherd, I'm going to take care of who I've been put in charge of. And if I'm not taking care of the sheep, then I'm not doing my job. You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for wild animals. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in lush pastures of the hills. Kind of resembles Psalm 23. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who have strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, I will feed them justice. And as for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says to his people. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another, separating the sheep from the goats. Isn't it enough for you to keep the best pastures for yourselves? Must you also trample down the rest? Isn't it enough for you to drink clear water for yourselves? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Why must my flock eat what you have trampled down and drink water you have fouled? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will surely judge between the fat sheep and the scrawny sheep. For you fat sheep pushed and butted and crowded my sick and hungry flock until you scattered them to distant lands. I will rescue my flock and they will no longer be abused. I will judge between one animal of the flock and another, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them and be a shepherd to them, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. The shepherds the Lord is referring to are the religious leaders at the time of Ezekiel. They had set up markets. They had, instead of teaching and guiding the people of Israel, they had started to hold marketplaces outside. They had started to ask for money for their own purpose, not for God, not for tithes, not for offerings, but for their own purpose. They began living off the flock of the land instead of shepherding them. Ezekiel received this message from the Lord to tell the leaders, the religious leaders, that God was condemning them, that he was going to rescue his own people. He outlined their sins and pronounced judgment on them. The bad shepherds take care of themselves. They worried about their own health. They ruled harshly and brutally. They abandoned and scattered their flock, and they kept the best for themselves. Whereas the good shepherds, they take care of their flock. They strengthen the weak and sick and search for the lost. They rule lovingly and gently. They gather and protect the sheep, and they give their best to to the sheep. God would judge the religious leaders, for they were caught up in their own concerns and were neglecting their service to others. When we give too much attention to ourselves and our own needs, we push God aside and abandon those who depend on us. How many times have we been so busy in our lives that we've forgotten an important assignment, an important appointment? How many of us have looked at the clock and said, oh my goodness, I've been so busy, I forgot to pick up the kids? I've done that once or twice. Working late or working as you do, you're trying to rush and get things done. You look at the clock, oh my goodness, I need to get to daycare. They're going to close in 10 minutes. When the leaders of the people do the same thing and get so caught up in their own pursuits that they neglect the needs of the flock, God will take care of that. He will pull the flock back to Him and remind them that God is in control. God promises to take over as a shepherd of His scattered flock. When our leaders fail us, we must remember that God is in control and He promises to return and care for His flock. I don't know about y'all, but I am so looking forward to that day of return. We know we can turn to God for help in any circumstance. He can take any tragic situation into good for His kingdom. God promises to send a perfect shepherd, the Messiah. The Messiah will take care of every need of His people. He will set up a kingdom of perfect peace and justice. And peace means more than the absence of conflict. It's contentment, fulfillment, and security. In this coming of the Messiah that happened in the New Testament also promises that the Messiah would return. Our Good Shepherd will come again and bring us with Him into the kingdom, into His sheepfold forever. Now, most of us, or all of us, heard the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. There are tax collectors and other notorious sinners gathered around Jesus. The Pharisees and the religious teachers are complaining that Jesus is associating with these people. Doesn't He know that these people are unclean? Why would any of these unclean people, if He is truly holy like He says He is, why would they even come to Him? They're disgusted that Jesus would eat or even associate with sinners. Their flawed thinking was that the dregs of society and lost souls couldn't be attracted to someone who is truly holy. And truly holy people don't engage with people who are unholy. The very word Pharisee means separated, separated for a purpose. They are separated for the service of God. But what they forgot, when they separated themselves from the people that really needed them, they were useless. They weren't doing the work of God. They taught that salvation came through separation from unholy, unclean people. So if I'm unholy, how do I become saved? Kind of hard if you're living under their laws and their rules, right? Jesus tells the Pharisees and the religious teachers the parable of the lost sheep to help them understand what they need to do to bring the sheep back into the fold. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who were righteous and haven't strayed away. That says a lot. That says that no matter where we're at in our walk, no matter where we're at in our life, God still pursues us. We can be righteous, we can be saved, God still loves us. We can fall off the wagon, so to speak. We can follow our own pursuits. We can be like that stray sheep, wandering, getting lost, following somebody that we thought was our shepherd, but who wasn't. God still pursues us. He still loves us enough to seek us out, to call to us, to search diligently, not just, oh, I haven't thought about Debbie in a while. Let me check on her. Every single day, he checks on us. It is better to live among the lost, teaching and guiding them to a true relationship with God. Unfortunately, the Pharisees and other religious leaders were blind to the meaning. They left the sheep alone in the wilderness, both unchristian and inhuman, to leave their sheep alone. They were more concerned with staying clean according to the Old Testament laws. Jesus risked being unclean because he loved us so much. He touched those who had leprosy and other illnesses and disregarded the sanctions about associating with certain classes of people. He did so because he was aware that they were disconnected from God. When we're lost, do we know we're disconnected from God? We don't. I mean, part of my testimony is I grew up in a Christian household that didn't go to church. I thought I was a Christian until I gave my life over to God and realized that I was just as lost as anybody else who had never set foot in a church, who had never heard a Bible story. He still pursued me. He didn't give up on me. I wasn't aware that I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't aware that I wasn't a believer. I wasn't aware that I wasn't saved. I thought I was because I believed in God. Jesus knows that being lost is a temporary situation. He comes to offer salvation to sinners, to those who are lost, those who are unaware of being disconnected from God. He continues to go to those who need him, regardless of the effect on his reputation. I have seen Jesus in places unimaginable. You would never expect I'll probably step on toes with this. High and mighty, would never go. Would never dream of going. And if any of you have been in the military, I'm sure you've seen Jesus in places deserted desert places in the midst of chaos. He doesn't choose to come in to a church and save those who are already saved. He chooses to go out into the darkness and save those and shine the light to bring them back to God. He places a huge value on restoring people to a right relationship with God. In this parable, why would the shepherd leave 99 sheep and go in search of one? Because that one was in danger and didn't know it. Because each sheep was of high value. The shepherd knew that it was worthwhile to search diligently for the lost one. The 99 would be safe in the sheepfold. God's love for that individual is so great that he seeks out each one and rejoices when he or she is found. And what I mean by found is in that found person has repented and a changed heart, has given their life over to Christ. This abandonment of sin brings us in right relationship with God. This is why Jesus associated with sinners, the lost sheep, those people considered beyond hope, and brought them the good news of God's kingdom. Before each and every one of us became a believer, he sought us, just as he still seeks the lost today. We may be able to understand a God who would forgive sinners who come to him for mercy, but a God who tenderly searches out for sinners and joyfully forgives them must possess an extraordinary love. This is the kind of love that prompted Jesus to come to earth to search for the lost people and save them. This is the kind of extraordinary love that God has for you. So my question is to you all, why all this importance on the lost sheep? Why all this focus on the lost sheep? Our society places a high value on missing people, and that's what our lost sheep are. They are missing from our sheepfold. Those missing from the kingdom of God deserve our searching out for them. If any of y'all have ever been around sheep, and I had to read up on this, I've only seen sheep in petting zoos. A lost sheep will usually lie down helplessly. They won't move, stand up, or run. It becomes immobile because it doesn't know where it's at. The lost among us may be lying down immobile, perhaps in drugs, alcohol, pursuit of money, pursuit of being accepted in today's society. Satan has blinded them. Let's find a back door to their hearts, because the front door has been heavily guarded by Satan, who has blinded their eyes from realizing the gravity of their situation. Because the kingdom of God is not complete if one is missing. And because we belong to the body of Christ, when one is missing, there's something about us that's missing too. In God, nothing is lost. So I'm going to end today with a poem I found. The source is unknown, and it tells you a little more about why looking for that lost sheep and being good shepherds is very important to each and every one of us. It was a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable Jesus told, a grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, it was a sheep the good shepherd sought. And back to the flock, safe into the fold, it was a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long for and earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger if they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever the sheep may stray. When the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are all as wrong as they. And so with the sheep we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the sheep are lost, what terrible costs some of the lambs will have to pay. And in closing, Acts 20:28. So guard yourselves and God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock, the church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. Each and every one of us is a shepherd. Each and every one of us must guard the lambs, the sheep, and our own hearts. And in closing, let me say a prayer found in Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought it from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.